Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter. I'll read it now. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is our text. It should be true of every single Christian church, and it certainly should be true for us here at Our Savior. It should be true that what we believe, teach, and confess is clear to anyone who walks into our sanctuary. Now, there are a lot of different ways that that could be true, many ways that it should be true, by the way our sanctuary appears, by the way that we worship as we gather. But today I'm thinking about one particular thing. I'm thinking about the words that people see when they come into this space. When you're in the narthex and you walk into the sanctuary, when you look up as you pass through the doors, what do you see written there? Or perhaps after you've come into your pews, you sit down, you look at the bulletin, what do you see written there? Think about it for a moment. What are the words that confront us first as we pass through the doors and as we look at our bulletin? Perhaps we've seen them so often that we've forgotten they're there. Perhaps we've forgotten that they're not just decorations or space fillers. Perhaps we've forgotten not only the words, but also their meaning. Or maybe we've never noticed them. Maybe we never knew what they meant. Maybe we never gave them a second thought. So go ahead and look at the front cover of your bulletin. What do you see written there? In both English and in Latin, in our language and in the language of the church through the ages. Sola, sola, sola. Three solas. Three things standing by themselves to confess Jesus. Sola scriptura, sola gratia, sola fide. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone. You can turn back to the middle of the bulletin if you want. But I want to draw your attention to that. Every single time you pass through the doors, those words are written above the sanctuary entrance. And almost every single Sunday on the very front of the bulletin, but they're easy to look past, easy to forget. These three phrases are the touchstones of the Reformation, and they are central to the Christian faith. These three phrases are servants of Christ Jesus, and they are also here to serve us, to serve you and me. What do they do for us? They help us to know Jesus and to trust him. I suppose you could call them slogans. Sometimes slogans have a bad rap, but good slogans serve a purpose. They can pack a lot into a few easy-to-remember words. They can boil things down to their essence. They can help us think about the faith clearly and simply, and they can help us confess the faith clearly and simply. Yes, there is a downside, and you know what it is. Slogans can become so familiar to us that we simply parrot the words, but don't understand or think about what they mean. So the most important thing isn't the slogans themselves, and it's not where they come from, but it's what they mean. Martin Luther wasn't the first one to proclaim sola scriptura, sola gratia, sola fide, to point out the significance of Holy Scripture and of God's grace and of faith's role in salvation. We heard the same things in the letter of St. Paul. And we hear the same things from Jesus today in John chapter 8. Sola scriptura means scripture alone. Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And we see by what Jesus says how everything hangs on his word. To be disciples is to be in his word. What does it mean? It means that disciples make their home in Jesus' word and dwell there. They read the word and study it and meditate on it and listen to it. And this is how we follow Jesus. This is why God's word is at the center of every gathering that we have here in the sanctuary, every service that we hold. If we had a service without the word of God, we would not be following our Lord. We would not be his disciples. This is what makes the church the church. How can anyone call himself a Christian if he doesn't hold fast to Jesus' word? How can a congregation be the church unless his word shapes all their teaching and their life? And what blessings come to us through the word? You will know the truth, Jesus says, and the truth will set you free. What is the truth? This is the truth. Everyone who practices or commits sin is a slave to sin. This is the hard truth that Jesus speaks, the hard truth that he tells us about ourselves. As often as we practice or commit sin, we are slaves to it. His holy law reveals this truth to us. It shows us our slavery, or our constant desire, like the children of Israel, to go back to slavery again and again, even after we've been set free. It condemns us, and it breaks our sinful hearts. And this is the truth as well. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. His holy gospel that proclaims the Son and his work, that alone grants us pardon and cleanses us and strengthens us and saves us. Scripture alone. We believe that the Old and New Testaments are the inspired word of God. We believe that they are breathed out by the Holy Spirit. And so we believe that they are the clear and pure fountain of Israel, the only standard by which all teachers and doctrines are to be judged. You know what we are to do. Everything that we hear taught or preached or spoken in the name of Jesus, we are to ask the question, text, please. Show us where this is written, and I will believe it. Show where this is taught by the scriptures, and I will practice it. The scriptures alone. So by this phrase, by this slogan, scripture alone, we confess that Holy Scripture stands head and shoulders above everything else in this world. It stands head and shoulders above every tradition, above human reason and experience, above every other teacher in the church. Scripture alone reveals the true God and the salvation that he accomplished for us in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that brings us to the second. Sola gratia. It means grace alone. Jesus says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And you see here how everything hangs on his grace. God's riches for you and for me at Christ's expense. We don't deserve the mercy of God. We don't deserve his favor or his love, and yet mercy is what he shows us for Jesus' sake. Freedom is his gift and not our work. If it depended on us and not on grace alone, then how could we ever be free? If overcoming sin, death, and the devil was something that we could do even in some small part, then for what would we need Jesus? By grace means that it's not by our works. So Jesus doesn't say, if the Son gives you directions about how you can set yourselves free, you will be free. He doesn't say, if the Son hands you the keys and asks you to open the lock yourself, you will be free. He doesn't say, if the Son turns the first click and then invites you to take over, you will be free. He says, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. He puts the key in the lock. He turns the key. He opens the shackles. And he pulls you out. By grace, you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Grace is the undeserved favor and love of God that he has for us because of the sole merit, the complete obedience, the bitter suffering, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ alone, whose obedience is counted to us for righteousness. God's favor toward you is not because of any merit or worthiness in you. It comes without any works of your own. It comes apart from any works that we do. God's favor for you that is undeserved, but because of what Christ has done. And it is shown to you in the means of grace, in God's word, in the holy sacraments, baptism and communion, in the holy absolution that you've heard. These are the packages through which God delivers and gives this grace to us, by which we know that we have his favor through Christ. And that leads us to the third of the slogans, sola fide. It means faith alone. Jesus says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see how everything hangs on faith. Believe him, and you have what he promises. Believe what he says, and you are his disciples, and you know the truth. Believe, and it's yours. Faith is the hand that he opens of us to receive what he gives. Because of who he is and what he does and what he says, we indeed trust him. I can't tell you when I came to faith or how, but I know that I believe because I say amen to the word that Christ speaks. We live by faith alone, and we lay hold of the grace of God in Jesus Christ simply by believing it, by faith in Christ alone. Not by virtue of our sorrow over sin or our love or any other work that we do. Faith is the instrument by which and through which we can receive and accept the grace of God, the merit of Christ, the forgiveness of sins, which are offered in the promise of the gospel. Faith is what grabs hold of the righteousness of Christ and rejoices in it, rejoices in the free forgiveness of sins. And this is a gift of the Holy Spirit, not a result of any effort or decision on my part or on yours. We receive what Christ has done by trusting him, not by working for it. These are the things that Martin Luther taught 500 years ago. These are the reasons that our church exists today. Because we believe that Scripture alone is the authority in the church, that grace alone is how God shows and gives us his favor, and that faith alone is how we receive the promises of God. I'm reminded of what Martin Luther went through 500 years ago. We celebrated in 2017 the 500th anniversary of the 95 Theses, but every year brings new things from the life of Martin Luther. It was 500 years ago that he was excommunicated for teaching these things. 500 years ago that he refused to take back what he had written, but instead, standing before the Diet of Worms, said, "Unless you can convince me from Scripture and plain reason that what I have written is false, I cannot and will not recant. My conscience is held captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen." 500 years ago, that leaving that meeting, he was whisked away into hiding at the Wartburg Castle for 11 months. He spent that time translating God's Word, the New Testament, into German, that all might have the truth of what Scripture teaches. Now, maybe you've heard all these things before. Maybe Scripture alone, grace alone, and faith alone are not new to you. But this is how we understand our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is how we understand what he has done for us and what he gives to us. This is how we live as Christians, and it is what we confess, gathered in this place. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone. And this is why the Reformation of the Church is significant. One of the most significant events in the history of the Church after the time of the New Testament. Not because of Martin Luther or because he got things right in some cases, but because Scripture was restored and grace was proclaimed and faith was created. And so the work of Christ was received and believed, and the Christian faith continued. Today we have the great joy and blessing of hearing the confession of faith of five of our young ones in our midst, young adults who will stand before us and affirm the gifts that God gave them in their baptism and confess the faith that they have been taught and that will remain theirs throughout their life. As they confess their faith today, I invite you to remember the faith that was the grace that was given to you in baptism and the faith that you have and continue to confess in Christ, that we too may stand on Scripture alone, rejoice in God's grace alone, and live by faith alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.